Imagine you're standing in a packed, roaring stadium, like 80,000 screaming fans all around you.
Oh, man, the energy in a place like that, it's electric.
Right, it's deafening. And then right in the dead center of the arena, this massive 40-foot digital dragon just suddenly materializes out of thin air.
Just out of nowhere.
Exactly. And it breathes this barrage of brilliant, glowing fire, and instantly, every single physical seat in the entire stadium violently shakes in response.
Wow.
The heat, the noise, the sheer physical vibration, it completely overwhelms your senses. But the wild thing is, this isn't some billion-dollar theme park ride.
No, not at all.
This is the grand finals of a video game.
Right.
I mean, it's 2026, and the old stereotype of, you know, the pale teenager huddled in a dark basement, chugging energy drinks in front of a glowing monitor, that is officially dead.
Oh, completely dead. Yeah, it's a totally different world now.
Esports hasn't just beaten traditional sporting giants like global football and basketball in viewership.
Right.
It has completely, totally consumed the entertainment landscape.
It is a phenomenal evolution. I mean, we are witnessing an absolute seismic shift in how the human race consumes competition.
Yeah.
The idea of athletes sitting at a sedentary desk just clicking a mouse, it's practically a relic of the past at this point.
It really is. And that transformation is exactly what we are exploring today. We've got our hands on this massive, deeply fascinating mega article from Tech & Mag, and it's titled The Cyber Olympics: The Future of Esports in 2026.
It is a fantastic piece of reporting, really comprehensive.
It is. So our mission for this deep dive is to look at the sources and truly understand how a perfect storm of cutting-edge technology, billions of dollars in infrastructure, and the razor-edge limits of the human body and mind have all converged. Okay, let's unpack this.
To really grasp the magnitude of this, we have to look past the software.
Right.
This isn't just a story about a specific video game getting highly popular. What we are looking at is a fundamental paradigm shift in human athletics.
A paradigm shift driven entirely by unprecedented global infrastructure investments.
Exactly. The physical spaces where we play and watch games have been completely re-engineered from the ground up.
Right. The architecture of the stadiums is entirely different now. I mean, to understand the sheer volume of money flowing into this space, you really have to look at the spectator experience.
Oh, for sure. The scale is just staggering.
The data from the Tech & Mag article notes there are currently 850 million active esports spectators globally.
That's almost a billion people.
Right. But they're not just watching on their phones or tablets anymore. Remember the old model? Like 10 years ago, organizers would rent out a repurposed basketball arena, string up a few massive flat 2D LED screens from the ceiling, and, well, that was it.
Yeah, you were essentially just watching television, but, you know, doing it in a very large room with thousands of other people.
Yeah, exactly.
The spectator was completely divorced from the physical reality of the digital environment.
But the article says we've completely transitioned away from that to these custom-built architectures called holodomes.
Yes, the holodomes.
But the way it describes the technology inside these domes is kind of hard to visualize. So how does a holodome actually bridge that gap between the digital game and the physical audience?
Well, it really comes down to true volumetric rendering.
Okay, what does that mean in plain English?
So instead of flat screens, the entire game map is rendered as a flawless, life-size, three-dimensional hologram right in the center of the arena floor.
Wait, really? Like a giant hologram?
Exactly. The technology uses millions of intersecting light beams to create solid-looking avatars and environments. You aren't staring up at a flat surface anymore. You are watching towering champions and highly detailed characters physically moving around in three-dimensional space right in front of you.
So watching a match in a holodome is less like looking at an IMAX movie screen and more like standing on the edge of a massive digital fishbowl.
A fishbowl. That's a great way to put it.
Like you're looking down into an actual volume of space where the avatars have real physical depth and occupy actual real estate on the arena floor.
That is exactly the right way to visualize it. But the visual depth is really only half of the equation here.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, yeah. What makes it a true holodome is the sensory immersion. The stadium is wired with advanced haptic feedback technology and localized sonic targeting.
Like the seats shaking when the dragon breathes fire.
Exactly. When a digital explosion happens near the center of that fishbowl, acoustic waves and physical actuators in the seats transmit that force directly into your body. Plus, harmless, synchronized lasers flash overhead to simulate digital spells or gunfire. the environment physically reacts to the code of the game.
That is insane, which honestly explains why the ticket revenue for Holodomes in 2026 has officially surpassed UEFA Champions League ticket sales.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
The article cites a staggering 1,166% growth in physical ticket sales just since 2023. I mean, people are paying a premium to feel the game, not just watch it.
Absolutely. They want the experience.
But what really stands out to me is that this infrastructure boom isn't happening in Silicon Valley or South Korea like you might expect. The geographical center of gravity has completely shifted.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, what we are seeing is an incredibly aggressive infrastructure boom centered primarily in the Middle East.
Right.
The scale of capital investment there is completely reshaping the competitive map. We're looking at the construction of a dedicated multi-billion dollar gaming city in Riyadh alongside elite state-of-the-art training academies in Dubai.
And the article even mentions that nations like the UAE and Saudi Arabia are issuing specialized cyber athlete visas, like just to get professional players to establish residency there.
It's a huge incentive program.
But I'm curious about the specific technical reason behind this geographical shift. Like, why pour billions into the desert just for video games?
Well, it is all about eradicating the oldest, most stubborn enemy of the digital athlete latency.
Oh, the lag.
Right, or what gamers refer to as ping. In the past, data had to travel across physical cables from the Middle East to a server in Frankfurt and back. And even though that data literally moves at the speed of light, that physical distance still resulted in a delay of about 40 or 50 milliseconds.
Which doesn't sound like a lot to a normal person.
No, it doesn't. But in a professional match where human reaction times are measured in fractions of a second, a 50 millisecond delay is an insurmountable disadvantage. It's the difference between winning $1 million and losing everything.
So how did they solve a problem that is essentially dictated by the speed of light? I mean, you can't make light go faster.
No, you can't. So they fixed it by physically shortening the distance the data has to travel.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, they deployed regional AWS edge servers directly into these new gaming cities and backed them up with dedicated, entirely private fiber optic networks.
So the servers are basically right next door.
Exactly. By putting the processing power essentially next door to the arenas, a sub-5 millisecond ping is now the global standard.
Sub-5 milliseconds? That's practically zero.
It is. Achieving near zero latency isn't just a win for a video game. It represents an absolute triumph in global telecommunications. It creates a truly borderless physical digital stadium where network delay has been completely eliminated as an excuse for poor performance.
Okay, so if the stadiums have evolved to be perfectly immersive and the network lag is physically gone, that means the only remaining bottleneck is the human body.
That's the scary part, yeah.
Which brings us to the players themselves. Because the physical demands of the modern cyber athlete have completely mutated from what they used to be.
They really have. That is the defining shift of 2026. The competitive landscape has fundamentally fractured into two distinct disciplines.
Right, the article mentions a split.
Yes. So you still have classic esports, which retains the traditional stationary mouse and keyboard setup.
The old school way.
Right. But the real revolution, the discipline driving this massive stadium growth, is vSports, or virtual sports.
Yeah, Taken Mag notes that the grand finals for tactical shooters, games like Counter-Strike and Valorant, are now played in free-roam VR arenas.
Free-roam, that's the key term.
But what does that actually look like in practice? How do you play a high-speed shooter while freely roaming around?
Imagine a massive, completely empty warehouse floor. The players are not sitting at a desk. They are physically out on that floor.
Like actually running.
Actually running. They wear highly advanced mixed reality visors. Because they are in a completely wireless free roam environment, they are physically sprinting across the real world arena to move their avatar.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. They dive to the physical floor to take cover behind virtual barricades that only they and the audience watching the holograms can see. They even use authentic physical hand signals to communicate tactical movements to their teammates in real time.
I see the specs for these visors in the article, and it sounds like military hardware.
It pretty much is at this point.
It mentions 120-gram titanium chassis, 16K micro-OLED displays per eye, and 240Hz adaptive sync refresh rates. But for those of us who aren't hardware engineers, what do those numbers actually mean for the player running around the arena?
Well, they mean the complete eradication of motion sickness.
Oh, because early VR used to make people so sick.
Exactly. In early VR, if you turned your head, there was a microscopic delay before the screen updated. Your eyes saw movement, but your inner ear didn't feel it matching up perfectly, which caused the brain to essentially think it was poisoned, leading to severe nausea.
Right, the brain just panics.
But by pushing the display to 16K resolution per eye and updating that image 240 times a second with sub-1 millisecond processing, the technology perfectly maps human physical movement into the digital space. It tricks the brain flawlessly.
And what about the weight? The 120-gram titanium chassis.
That is crucial, because if you have players physically diving and sprinting for hours, a heavy headset would cause catastrophic neck and spinal injuries. The titanium keeps it ultralight but durable enough to take a physical impact.
Okay, wait, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
If you are physically running around an empty room wearing a titanium headset, sweating through your jersey, and throwing tactical hand signals to your teammates, is that even video gaming anymore? Or is that just a traditional physical sport wearing a digital mask? I mean, it sounds like glorified, incredibly high-tech laser tag.
That tension, that exact blurring of the lines, is why V-Sports is so revolutionary. It is a true hybrid model.
The hybrid, okay.
Yeah, the physical toll is immense. Modern professional gamers in V-Sports can no longer just practice their aim on a screen. They require rigorous cardiovascular workouts, agility drills, and endurance training at the gym just to survive a 3-hour match.
So they're real athletes now, in every sense.
Absolutely. And that biological physical exertion is precisely what finally secured eSports its permanent, uncontested slot in the official global Olympic Games. It bridges a critical gap. It satisfies the strict physical exertion requirements demanded by legacy Olympic committees, while simultaneously feeding the highly digital, technology-driven appetite of Generation Z and Generation Alpha.
That is fascinating. So they are athletes in the absolute truest sense of the word. But as much as they are pushing their physical limits, they are also artificially pushing their mental limits.
Oh, yes. This is the dark side of it.
Because having explored the physical arena, we really have to transition to what is undoubtedly the most controversial aspect of the 2026 landscape. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yes, we are entering the realm of algorithmic strategy and cognitive enhancement.
Cognitive enhancement.
The era of pure, unassisted human instinct is over. And it starts with how these teams are coached. Just a few years ago, human analysts would manually parse through hours of match replays looking for players' weaknesses.
Right, watching tape.
Exactly. But that entire profession has been replaced.
The manual analysis has been entirely offloaded to what the article calls strategic artificial intelligence. But how does an AI coach a physical human being playing a tactical game?
It operates on a level of predictive analytics that a human mind simply cannot process.
Okay, give me an example.
So the AI doesn't just look at the final score or where a player came. It ingests millions of hours of historical match data to identify the opposing player's deep subconscious habits.
Subconscious habits.
Yes. For example, the AI knows that when a specific opponent's heart rate spikes to 140 beats per minute during a tense firefight, they instinctively drift their aim a fraction of a millimeter to the left.
That is terrifying.
It is. It calculates that micro flaw and feeds a mathematically flawless counter strategy to its own team in real time. The human athletes are literally fighting a machine that knows their physiological panic responses better than they do.
And it gets even more dystopian, doesn't it? To feed that AI, players in Tier 1 professional leagues are now required to wear biometric smart suits under their jerseys.
Yes, the smart suits.
These suits constantly monitor their body temperature, their respiratory rate, and their cortisol levels, the primary stress hormone.
The suit acts as a real-time biological diagnostic tool. When a player enters a highly stressful, critical moment in the match, a scenario where they are, say, the last player alive on their team, the system instantly detects that massive spike in cortisol.
And when that cortisol spike hits, the coaches trigger what is officially called sanctioned cyberdoping.
Just the phrase cyberdoping sounds incredibly ominous.
It really does. So they activate these brain-computer interface headsets, BCIs, that the players wear under their visors. The article explains that these BCIs literally transmit low-frequency, non-invasive electromagnetic pulses directly into the player's motor cortex.
Right into the brain.
Yeah. But why the motor cortex specifically? What does zapping that part of the brain actually achieve?
Well, the motor cortex is the region of the cerebral cortex involved in the planning, control, and execution of voluntary physical movements.
Right.
So when a player needs to pull a digital trigger or snap their wrist to aim, that command originates in the motor cortex. by transmitting highly calibrated electromagnetic pulses into that specific region, the BCI artificially lowers the activation threshold of those neurons.
So it makes it easier for the brain to fire those signals.
It essentially clears the neurological static. The player's thoughts translate into physical actions fractions of a second faster. It artificially boosts their focus and reaction speed exactly when the cortisol is trying to cloud their judgment.
Wait, I'm struggling to wrap my head around this. How on earth did the Global Esports Committee sign off on this?
It's highly controversial, to say the least.
They recently ruled that these specific neural pulses are, quote-unquote, legal within regulated limits. I just want you, listening to this right now, to imagine the ethical nightmare this presents. How can any legitimate competitive body sanction literally zapping a human being's brain to make them perform better?
Well, this raises an important question. Where exactly do we draw the line between biological human talent and hardware advantage?
Right. It feels like cheating.
The community is entirely fractured over this. You have legacy purists and veteran players who argue vehemently that this technology destroys the fundamental integrity of the sport.
Which makes total sense.
To them, if an algorithm is telling you where to stand and a BCI is artificially firing the neurons to pull the trigger, the competition has degraded into a battle between the programmers writing the code, not the athletes on the floor.
But I'm guessing the massive corporations funding these holodomes feel very differently.
Oh, absolutely. From a sponsor's perspective, this technology is a godsend.
Because it looks amazing on TV.
Exactly. Sponsors want spectacular, reliable entertainment. Cyberdoping ensures that matches are played with absolute machine-like precision and blistering speed every single time. It removes the human error that ruins a broadcast.
Money talks.
It does. The financial incentives to keep using BCIs to create the ultimate spectacle for those 850 million spectators are simply too massive to ignore.
It's creating an unbelievable ethical divide. Tech & Mag even predicts that by 2028, the controversy will become so severe that global leagues will be forced to officially bifurcate.
Yeah, a complete split.
They forecast a split into a classic division, which explicitly outlaws all cyber augmentations, and an augmented division where there are absolutely no restrictions on technological and neurological assist.
It is the ultimate man versus machine debate, evolving into a man versus augmented man reality.
It's like something out of a sci-fi movie.
And the reason this boundary is being pushed so aggressively is inherently tied to the staggering financial stakes required to run these teams.
Which brings us to the final piece of the puzzle, the cyber economy. Because outfitting an entire roster of athletes in biometric smart suits, hiring supercomputers to run strategic AI, and flying them to holodomes in the Middle East, none of that is cheap.
Not even a little bit.
The barrier to entry has skyrocketed, which has completely mutated the financial ecosystem of the sport. We are no longer talking about grassroots sponsorships here.
The wealth being generated and exchanged is just breathtaking. The player transfer market now operates with the exact same ferocity and capital as international football.
I read the numbers and I couldn't believe it.
We are routinely seeing elite franchise clubs from the Middle East and China offering transfer contracts ranging from $50 million to $100 million just to poach a single star player from a European roster.
$100 million just for the right to move a player to your team?
Just for the transfer rights, yes.
And what does the player actually take home?
The baseline salaries are astronomical. A Tier 1 vSports player is earning a fixed monthly salary of $50,000 to $150,000.
A month.
A month. And that is just their base pay. They receive massive percentages from digital merchandise, think in-game aesthetic skins that bear their digital signatures, which are purchased by millions of fans. They secure luxury brand endorsements and take a significant slice of the broadcasting rights.
Wow. And even the people not holding the controllers are cashing in.
Yep.
I mean, strategic esports management is now a highly competitive degree at prestigious universities.
Oh, yeah. It's a very lucrative career path now.
Graduates are being headhunted to manage the logistics of these massive rosters with starting salaries of $120,000 a year. But, and there is very, very dark side to this immense wealth.
There always is.
Because to earn that money, to perform under the blinding lights of a holodome while an AI mathematically dissects your micro movements and a BCI zaps your motor cortex to keep you awake, the human body cannot sustain it.
It simply can't. The viable career lifespan of a professional player has plummeted drastically. We are seeing forced permanent retirements happening as early as age 23 due to unprecedented biological...
What is physically breaking down?
It is a terrible combination of neurological overload and physiological damage. Mentally, the athletes are processing thousands of high-stakes data points per second, fully aware that a machine is anticipating their every move, all while competing live before hundreds of thousands of roaring fans.
The stress must be unbearable.
The constant, unnatural spikes in cortisol just exhausts the adrenal system. And physically, the relentless, hours-long training for V-sports in heavy gear is leading to severe joint deterioration, spinal compression, and ocular damage from the micro-OLED screens.
Not to mention the completely unknown long-term effects of the cyberdoping.
Precisely. We have no longitudinal medical data on what happens to a human brain that receives daily targeted electromagnetic pulses to its motor cortex over a period of 5 years. The biology is literally breaking under the pressure of the technology.
It reminds me of the tragic arcs we sometimes see with elite Olympic gymnasts or certain child stars.
That's a very apt comparison.
These cyber athletes are reaching the absolute pinnacle of global fame. They are acquiring staggering generational wealth. But they are doing it at the cost of having their bodies and their minds completely give out before their 25th birthday. They're burning incredibly bright, but burning out incredibly fast.
It highlights a profound irony in how we've engineered this entire industry. We spent billions of dollars to physically eliminate network latency down to 0 milliseconds. We engineered flawless 16K holograms to protect the visual integrity of the game.
Right, fixing all the external problems.
Exactly. But the fragile human nervous system is now the bottleneck. We perfected the digital arena, only to realize the biological player inside it is breaking.
Thankfully, the players aren't entirely defenseless anymore. The Global Esports Players Union has aggressively stepped in to try and manage this fallout,
which is so desperately needed.
According to the article, they recently achieved a massive regulatory victory. They've mandated strictly enforced baseline salaries to prevent exploitation of younger players, comprehensive joint injury insurance for V-sports athletes, and very tellingly mandatory psychotherapeutic services for all Tier 1 league competitors.
It is a vital safety net. If esports is going to permanently replace traditional physical sports as the primary global spectacle, the human cost of producing that entertainment has to be heavily regulated and managed.
Okay, so let's take a step back and look at the whole picture. We have gone on an incredible journey through the realities of 2026 today. We've explored how massive infrastructure investments and near-zero latency have transformed esports from stationary desk setups into life-size 3D holodomes.
It's been quite the ride.
We've seen the physical evolution of the players, transitioning from sedentary clicking to Olympic-level sprinting in free-roam VR. And we've crossed the ethical Rubicon, moving from simple human strategy into the highly controversial era of AI coaching and biologically monitored cyberdoping. So, what does this all mean?
It means we have successfully merged the absolute pinnacle of digital engineering with the extremes of human biological endurance. We have created the ultimate spectator sport, but we are paying a profound physiological and ethical cost to maintain it.
It really makes you wonder, if you were placed in their shoes, would you make that trade?
That's the million-dollar question.
Would you sacrifice a normal lifelong career for just 5 years of absolute global superstardom, a $100 million contract, and the chance to reach the absolute augmented peak of human performance, knowing full well you might be physically and mentally forced into retirement by the time you turn 23? It's a heavy question to sit with. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. And as always, keep questioning the rapidly evolving world around you.
I will leave you with one final, rather chilling thought to consider as we wrap up. We know that brain-computer interfaces are currently being used to artificially transmit focus-boosting electromagnetic pulses into the motor cortex of gamers during high-stress matches. But technology rarely stays confined to the arena.
Oh, wow.
How long until that cyberdoping hardware leaks out into the real world? Are we heading toward a near future where everyday office workers, surgeons in the middle of a complex operation, or even students taking a final exam are expected to use neural pulses to artificially augment their own focus just to stay competitive?